Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church and our day to praise the Lord and to give Him the glory that He's due. He's a wonderful God, and I'll tell you what, every day is a good day to praise Him for what He's done. I trust today your heart's in that mode, so as I welcome you today, let's stand if you're able, and we're going to sing some praises to Him today. In your hymnal this morning, 375, or it's on the screen for us, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Again today, that's the whole reason we're here, is to praise God and to share His gospel with people. I trust that you know the Lord as your Savior. If you don't, today's a great day to begin to know Him and enjoy the wonderful fellowship He has in store for each and every one of us. Here we go. "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Light in my soul for which long I have sought. Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea. Who's happy today about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Who's excited about your walk with Him today? Let's sing it out like we mean it. Here we go on verse 4. "I shall go there to dwell in that city I know,
since Jesus came into my heart.
And I'll be so happy as onward I go,
since Jesus came into my heart.
Prayer. Father, we thank You once again today for the enthusiasm that You give us as we walk through these paths of life with You, trusting You, Lord. It's an exciting trail that we're on. Help us, Lord, to never get discouraged, to never be downhearted, but to rely on You, Lord, and to walk with You and enjoy what You have there for us. Now, Lord, we realize today in the human experience there are many things that affect the human heart and perspective. And we know, Lord, that there are people today that are missing. We have a community outside of our walls that is needy for You. And, Lord, there are many things that are out there on the horizon that affect the lives of people. But today, Lord, for those that have gathered inside today, I pray that this will be a time of feeding on the Word, of encouragement, and of admonition, Lord, as to how we need to operate in the day that you have placed us. So, Lord, we look to you for that guidance and for that help in our daily walk. And yet, Lord, as I mentioned, there are those that are struggling today. There's all types of things, Lord, from human emotions that enter into the picture to physical ailments and the things that are a result of the sin curse. But thanks be to God that you've delivered us from that curse. And you can allow us to have joy, just like what we sang about. And I pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to the hearts of everyone, that your Spirit will have a free course today in the lives of people, including the preaching of the word. And we're going to give you praise and glory in advance. And now, Lord, be blessed by the choir. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Direction towards our praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our praise. Well, welcome once again to everyone this morning. And I see a lot of smiling faces, not too many frowns. It's a beautiful day God's given us. We're in that season of new life again, the grass. How many of you have mowed your grass already?
I hope.
A few. I usually let mine get about that tall. before I start, but I'm getting in the mode to start to get ready to mow it anyway. But yes, we've got a wonderful day here that God's given us. Let's use it for His glory, shall we, today? Thank you, choir, again. And as they go down, we're going to go to the right-hand side of our bulletin for just a few moments and also on the screen to look at some announcements for the week to come. Again, we're glad if you're here today as a first-time visitor. And let me just say this. Invite someone to church and bring them in. Let them understand that we're people that love the Lord and that this is a good place to be when we meet together. Anyway, tonight at 6 o'clock, and some of these are out of order, but tonight at 6 o'clock is part two of our message from last Sunday evening. I had a little trouble last Sunday with both the morning and the evening messages. I couldn't get them all done in the time frame. So we're back on part twos on both today. But the dangers of addictive dalliances. So come, we're going to talk about addictions. If you're interested in our evening services, they are a very freewheeling type service where there can be all kinds of interaction and discussion. And so come prepared to see what God's Word has in store and to share, again, some of your thoughts about that as well. Women's Bible study will be the 24th at 10 o'clock. Men's Bible study the 24th at 8 o'clock. And it's usually our goal to be gone before the gals get here, right? Depending if they have good food, then we might go overtime. But anyway, also, we need a vocalist, at least one person from Fruitland Baptist Church that would like to participate in the Memorial Day service over at the cemetery. So let me know if there'd be a vocalist here that would like to do that. Also, Pregnancy Resources, their van will be in town at the Y every Monday from 11 to 5. And the director is going to be there tomorrow. I do have a funeral in the afternoon, but I'm going to try to slip up there for a minute and look at the van. It'll be coming every Monday morning up to the Y. Next Sunday is our fellowship, our monthly fellowship that we're restarting. And that is a potluck fellowship here in the fellowship hall. What other place to have it, right?
Master?
Yes.
Bring whatever and just enough to share with everyone.
But let me also say this, if you forget next week, but you'd like to stay, stay. Because that's why I maintain a reserve. I can get by with less, okay? But come and have lunch with us, and we're going to play Bible baseball for our afternoon service. We've been working on Name That Tune, but we can't get that pulled off. But for those of you that may be new or haven't understood this, about once a quarter we do something that's just fun. It still centers around God's Word, but this time it'll be Bible baseball. So, and then the following Sunday is our Youth Sunday. Now, wait a minute. I'm wrong about that. No, I'm correct about that. The following Sunday then, no, next Sunday is our youth-oriented Sunday in the morning. Yeah, I got that right now. But yes, then followed by a fellowship. And just don't worry, you know, there will be enough food here if you forget or if you can't. You know, I've got stuff up in my cubby hole. I shouldn't take the time to do this, but usually I eat either pot roast or Salisbury steak lunches. I get these little meals I eat when I'm down here. When Kim and I were up in Central Iowa when I was going to school, when I'd come home to the farm with our kids, I served them Salisbury steaks, baked potatoes, and peas every day. Our kids won't touch those little meals. That's been a long time ago. Anyway, keep on track here, John. Yeah, evening service then will be at about 1 o'clock, and we should be all done by 2 at the latest, okay? Wilton Bible Study will be the 29th of April, 6 p.m., Wilton Presbyterian Church basement. West Coast, we need to have a meeting just as soon as I'm done with the rest of the announcements. If there's a desire to have them, I want to just say this, there's no assurance we'll get them, because in the time that's passed since we have to announce these meetings, they may have filled that slot. So we'll just have to take and see what God has in store on that. But yeah, there it is, children's message, next Sunday morning. Deacons meeting this Thursday, 7 p.m. Also, there is a meeting today at 4:30 for the Men's Retreat Committee. And this retreat is the 24th and 25th of September. It's a Gearheads retreat. The Gearheads and the Gospels going to be the title of it. We want to bring trucks, cars, garden tractors, all kinds of things out here, and have a big day with a couple of sessions of gospel preaching and some seminars on how to work on older trucks, cars, and equipment. So that should be a big day. We hope to fill this whole lot, and we want to fill this auditorium when we have our guest speaker, Pastor Earl Swigert from Lockridge. He's a tractor restorer, and he's a pastor down there. So we're kind of excited about that. I hope that you will be as well. If you'd like to help with that or just be informed, maybe you're nosy, come to our meeting at 4:30 today, men or women, even though it's a men's retreat. My thought for the week, if America gets lost in the dark, it's because we've turned off the light. Amen. Business meeting. Jeff, yes, the card.
The meeting. There are some needs for the church. There's a green card on the back bulletin board.
Yes.
If you want to look at it, if you'd like to buy anything, you can donate, especially now with the fellowship coming up. There's some kitchen supplies on there, toilet paper, paper towels. The church needs those things all the time. And whatever we don't get, we'll go out and make a shopping trip and get it.
Yeah.
If anybody's willing to do that, that would be great.
That's right. Some of you that have hoarded toilet tissue and you're tired of all of it stacked up, the Lord can use it. Anyway, but those are opportunities to give, again, through some of these type of gifts that we need regularly. So there's an opportunity there. All right, at this time, is there a motion then? We'll call a quick business meeting, but is there a motion to bring West Coast here on July, isn't it 2nd, Deb? July 2nd, which is a Friday evening. Seeing no motion, our meeting's adjourned. So we will not bring them on. Or did I miss a hand somewhere? Okay, then we will not be contacting them. All right, thank you so much. At this time then, we're going to have a time of prayer, again, to focus on the goodness of God. And now as we, again, have an opportunity to give back to Him, we know that there are many parameters given in His Word about our giving. We do know that He commands us through Paul to lay by in store through the week, to be prepared to give on the first day of the week, again, to His service and to His glory. And we know one thing here at Fruitland, all of the things that are given here are governed here by us and locally. We don't belong to any denomination or have any other outside control, and I like that. I've been able to share that with a lot of people over the years. They say, what? You mean you people could actually conduct yourselves in a... I said, yeah, by God's grace. But as we focus now on how God has led us to give, He wants us to give cheerfully and with the heart that says, I love you, Lord, and I acknowledge what you've done for me. I can never give back what you've given, but I want to give a portion of that to you today. So we're going to go to prayer for that, and then also that God would set our hearts on tune as we look into the message and the feeding on the Word, and a special to follow. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that again we are shown the pattern of giving through your very hand of graciousness towards mankind. Giving again the ultimate gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear our sins and to take the penalty of our sins, which was death on a cross. And yet, Lord, through your benevolence, you rose again on the third day towards us, guaranteeing us new life. Salvation is freely given to all who will receive it. I like that, Lord. There's no strings attached whatsoever to your salvation. You tell us, whosoever will, my arms are open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you for that, Lord. And yet, as we've been instructed in your word, we understand, though, that that was not cheap or that it was totally free on your part because you gave your precious Son for us, the most costly thing that could be given. Out of love. That's a hard thing to even understand, Lord, why you would do that for us. But all we can say is thanks that you have. And now, Lord, as we have this opportunity to search our hearts and search the scriptures, how we respond to you in our giving, Lord, may you train us to be givers by faith, not expecting anything in return, but understanding the precious promises in your word that say, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will supply all your needs through my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, bless the gift and giver, I pray today. And may our time now of meditation here before we go into the preaching be heart-changing. And, Lord, may we absorb what you have for us this day. Now I pray these things in the most wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. much, ladies, the haven of rest. I trust today that our spirits rest in that haven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we have some special music today. All right, very good. So at this time, W.K.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart, not only for salvation first, but also for we as believers to let the Lord, he's always there, isn't he? So we can call on him at any time to help us through our life's path. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. What is your answer to him? Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Wonderful. Appreciate that. Excuse me. I didn't mean to knock you down there, Doug. Yes, amen. You know, isn't that interesting? We live in a day of wonderful communications capabilities, and yet there are things that interrupt those things. But we know one thing, that the Lord's communication lines are always fully open, and they never go down. I used to joke with my elderly aunt. She'd say, "You haven't called me for," and she kept track, I think, on a calendar, "for X amount of days." I said, "Well, Aunt Betty," I said, "you know, we've had an ice storm. I think the lines of communication were down," knowing full well that very few phone lines anymore are out on the poles susceptible to the ice. But I joked with her a little about that. But what Doug really sang about there is indeed the fact that Jesus' line of communication is open to us 24/7. And the communication problems that we have with him today are on our end. We never have to wonder. We know that if we're not in communication with him, it's our problem, not his. He's there for us all the time. You know, the Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that's what it is, folks, is there's no religion, it's no doing anything, it's fully trusting him alone. It's a free gift of God's grace given to us. I want you to know that today. He loves you and me, and he's communicating. You know, by the way, does he ever get a busy signal with you? Well, hopefully not, but let me just say this. That's the excuse most people use. I'm what? Isn't that ironic? I'm too busy. And they give him the busy signal. Sometime I'm going to bring that along, or we'll play it. There's a video. I've played it for a few of you before, but it's called A Phone Call from God. And it's funny, but yet it's what? Jason sat and listened to it one day with me. It really tells the truth about us. You know, our lines of communication are shut off toward him. That's a tragic thing, because he loves us dearly. Well, again, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have a short message today. Some of you are saying, ha, 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 we've heard that before. Today we're in part two of a message that's entitled, Are You Ready to Preach the Gospel in the Current Environment? By the way, there are note sheets back there on the table. Ushers, if someone needs one, if you didn't bring them from last week, just raise up a hand. These guys get big salaries to hand things out and to help you folks. So, in fact, I know at our annual meeting this last year, the ushers received a 100% raise.
Yeah. Not really.
Oh, we're just having a little fun there. But anyone else need one? Otherwise, but we're going to be working today in part three of this that we didn't get accomplished. But let's face it today, folks, as I mentioned last week, we can get all negative and downtrodden here this morning because, let's face it, sin is beginning to abound more and more in our culture, is it not? But as we learned last week, it's nothing new. It shouldn't be something, once again, that upsets the apple cart and says that we can't operate in those types of environments because our ancestors have done it before. And folks, we are not without hope in the world that we live in today because the gospel is the hope for our world today. And let us all be on the hot seat a little bit here this morning. If you're a born-again believer in Christ in this room this morning, you are not here as a consumer, but God has called you to be a what, Autumn? A producer. A producer. We don't come to church to consume. We come to gather so that we might produce. Okay? And the fact of the matter is, you've got to have both, though, right? Because if you're a producer, there won't be a need. There has to be a need for a consumer. And let me just say this, folks, in this essence of what we're talking about this morning, that's the folks in our midst that are needy for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. It's outlined on your sheet. And I've got to get over to that sheet. Here we go. Anyway, just a quick recap. And that is my definition there. And there is one mistake in this sheet down on point three. We're going to be in Philippians 1, 27 through 30 this morning, not Colossians. Okay, so that'll help you out. So briefly, and I just say this, rather than me going through all these blanks again, you tune in to our website and you punch in last week's morning message. These blanks will all be filled for you in that message. But if you don't have that and you want to make me earn my keep, I'll sit here with you this afternoon and help you fill the blanks out. And cheating is allowed here at church. If you want to copy off your neighbor and they'll let you, I don't believe the Bible says that's wrong. Do you? No, help people out. Yeah. And you can even, I never used those in school, but Cliff Notes, isn't that where you wrote the things in your hand? And you remember what I told about Kim here a few weeks ago when we turned in an identical paper one time, and wasn't that in government class, Kim? And I got an A, Kim got a C. And I need to be careful because this is public, but that was with Mrs. Fair. And anyway, we'll let that go for now, but if you want to know more about it privately, let me know. Also, I will give you a copy of my, I told Kim about this morning, a reminder of my speech I used when I ran for student council in high school. I walked up before the student body and I said, good morning. If you want to vote for me for student council, do it. If you don't. Thanks. And I walked back. Efficiency, right, Lyle? Say what needs said and get out of there. Maybe I better listen to that this morning. Doug, go ahead.
Well, it's good you didn't make promises you can't keep.
No.
That's right. My administration was not racked by corruption on the student council. I just want you to know that.
Praise Jesus.
Richard Nixon, you know.
I
always did like, though, how Nixon, you know, when he gave, by the way, he wasn't in the peace movement. He meant he was World War II era victory, the V's, okay? But I always loved that, and I've told you that before. When you looked at his pants, they were clear up to here. You know, yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what, we've had worse presidents than Richard Milhouse Nixon, haven't we? Anyway, today we're going to start out in the last point that I didn't bring you in part two, but here quickly, here it is. Point one, positives of our current environment, and we laid those out last week. Also, preparation for our current environment. You know, I was talking to our junior, senior high class this morning about Noah. How many of you, of us even know some of the major Bible characters? And these are not Bible stories, they are biblical accounts. These are actual things that happened. But you think things are bad today, and I do believe they're tending there, because of course Jesus says in Matthew 24, when I return, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. The whole earth was corrupt. How many souls were saved? 8 souls. And God destroyed the earth by a flood. The next time he destroys the earth, it's going to be through fire. Because he said, I'll never destroy it again through water. Anyway, folks, these things are coming. But yet today we have hope. I want to start out today in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, under this idea of preparation for our current environment. Just briefly. And I am going to try to be done early today. And it could happen. There are always possibilities. Paul had a couple of proteges, at least. But one of them was this guy named Titus. Titus is a book that comes after 2 Timothy, okay? And before the book Philemon. It's a small letter or epistle that was given to Paul's proteges. And you know what? Paul was always in the mode of encouraging. He was also in the mode of admonishing, right? And he did both. But in this case, he was encouraging Titus as a pastor. But I think we can take liberty with the word here today, as I said earlier, that all of us, we may not have that exact title, but we have a commission. And that's the Great Commission with the gospel. But when we look at all the other points that we did last week, I want to close with this one on point two, that preparation is essential. And one of the key points of that is the ability to refute what the King James Version calls the gainsayers. The contradictors is another word that you could insert in that if you have a different translation of that. Let me say this, folks, in beginning this morning. We live in a world that is full of contradictors. If you say black, they're going to say white. If you say white, they're going to say yellow. We live in a plethora of truth sources today that people think is truth. But as we learned several weeks back, this Word of God, this book called the Bible, is objective truth. It cannot be proven wrong. It's truth. Anyway, Titus 1:9 says this, and this is the encouragement in our preparation to operate in the current environment, which we agree is getting tougher and could potentially get very, very rough. But here's what Paul told Titus. He says, holding fast. By the way, what's holding fast? Can you describe that? How many of you have ever worked on a roof and slipped off? Lonnie and Jeff are carpenters here today. I fell off a couple of roofs too, but let me ask you, what were you doing as you saw the eaves coming up? Swimming on the roof. You know, that's another thing though. When you work on the roof, you need to always, as best as you can, stay with your front toward the roof. You know why that is? So that when you come to the edge of the roof, you can try to hold fast to the gutter or whatever else may be to at least break your fall. That's what holding fast is. Al, real quick. Oh, to try to dig into the roof? Yeah. See, the people that I work with my dad, he'd say, don't hit the shingles. Just go. He'd rather see you fall off the roof, he would have, than wreck the shingles. Yeah. That's what holding fast is. You know, I've described that before in my life. You know, people have often said, the Lord will take you right to the cliff. That's true. But in my experience, he lets you go over the cliff sometimes. But what, if you listen to me over the years, he always gives you a branch somewhere along the way to what? To grab a hold of. Let me tell you, if you've been in that scenario, you know what it is to hold fast. To hold fast means to do what? To hang on with all the reserve that you have within you to hang on. Folks, that's the era that we are in today and what we need to be prepared for. We may be on the eve, the gutter, holding on to it as it's breaking away. But we're going to hold on to Jesus, right? He's our safety net and we're going to operate and we need to prepare. But here's what Paul told Titus. He says, holding fast, what? The faithful word as he hath been taught. The Bible's chock full of that. He says, don't let go of the word. Folks, let's face it today in our time, God's word's been trashed. Even a lot of the so-called churches have dumbed it down. I think it's still reliable, and I think it's still relevant and a lot more. Amen? It's living and it's powerful. That he may be able by sound doctrine, doctrine is the word truth, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Exhort means to build people up through the word, and to convince or to make believers out of the doubters. We need to know the word of God today, folks, in a nutshell. I'm not going to bang that home any further, but you get the point. We can't go out into the environment that we find ourselves in and what is increasing around us without a good knowledge of the word of God. How do you get that? Number one, through study, but also time and prayer. But number two, we don't negate the church. And let me just say this to everyone that teaches or preaches here at Fruitland Baptist Church. You need to know God's word, and we need to be growing in the word. Because we are moving into a time that is diligent. We need that diligent preparation. Because let me tell you something, folks. A lot of the unbelievers out there know how we as believers should be operating. And they look at us and they say, look at those. And isn't that the biggest charge that you hear about the church today? I don't want to belong to that. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what I tell them? You're right. Come and show us how to do it. We need to understand how to do it. And Paul tells us here, two things we need to be prepared for. To build people up in the faith through the word, and to refute the negative, what was the word I used here? I got to look at my notes. The contradictors. And let me tell you, God's word will do it. You don't have to have fancy oratorial skills, but you can just say, no, God's word lines up perfectly about that, and be able to show them. Not as an attack, but as a what? We looked at it last time. As a defense of the gospel in love. Apologia in the Greek. Apologetics. We need to know how to defend our faith. All right. Anyone have any questions on point two? Otherwise, we got to go. And there's nothing in the oven this week. Go ahead, Lisa, real quick. Lisa, you got to say that one more time. I got to get the mask off my ear.
Sorry.
No. That's right. You know what? If we're not strong in the faith ourselves, we're not going to be able to what? Yeah. We will be reduced in our capabilities to work with the people that have questions, with the contradictors, right? So it's very important. All right, that was your second point, preparation. Point three, over to Philippians. Or back to Philippians. If you're coming from the front, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1 today. And we're going to be looking at 27 through 30. And this is our third P here, practice for our current environment. Meaning, how do we do this? How do we stand as defenders of the faith and proponents and preachers of the gospel, of the good news, in the environment that we find ourselves today? Well, Paul, again here, talking to the church at Philippi, gives some very good pointers. And again, my messages are never all-inclusive. You could all say, he missed a point and such. Yeah, but these are some good foundational things to look into. But here it is. Here's your first blank. A lifestyle that displays the gospel. Talk is cheap, but actions speak louder than words. And people know, don't they? They know if you're a fraud, don't they? Absolutely. It's just like I've always said, and this will come a little later in these blanks. Dogs know when you're afraid of them. But you'll have a much better opportunity to work with mean dogs if you look them in the eye. I don't particularly care for the taste of ears, Matt. But we aren't out to bite people's ears off. With the gospel, but we need to what? We need to live in a way that is different. I challenge you this too. Find a character in the Bible that was mundane, that worked for the Lord, that lived for the Lord. You won't find them. They're all John the Baptist types. They were looked at as what? Kooks, nut jobs, right? By the culture? But they were the ones that did what? They had the answers. They stood for the Lord. And let me tell you, I'm not telling you to be nutty, But, well, you know, there's even a few people have leveled those charges against me. With Crazy John, you know, with the nickname. But bottom line, don't be afraid to be different. Let your lifestyle be something different than the mainstream. Why would they look at you if you're mainstream? They're going to see you if you're different. Amen? Here it is. Paul says, only, and this is a King James. By the way, I am not KJV only, but I still like the KJV. It's a good translation. It has a few things in it, but it's a good translation. But here Paul says, and it's translated in King James, only let your conversation. And you're thinking there, well, it's how I talk. And we were talking about communications earlier. That's not what that word means. In the Greek, let me give this to you if I can. It's the Greek word politoumai. Politoumai. Scratch the politoumai. What word do you think we get from that? Politics. Politics. You know, when we're involved in politics, we show on our sleeve who we are, right? I don't preach politics here. That's for you to decide. But I'll give you the Word of God to help you decide it, right? But bottom line, that's what the word conversation is. Politoumai. And what that word means in the Greek is our citizenship. And in this case, as a Christian, it's our citizenship that is heaven. And we know this today, folks. We're not here in any permanent way. We're here what? Temporarily. We're just passing through. We're aliens. That's what the Bible says. Peculiar people. Passing through, standing up for the truth, for Jesus. So our citizenship is in heaven, but yet in 2 Corinthians 5:20, God has called us to be ambassadors for Him. His representatives, right? And so that's the thing about our lifestyle. Paul says, only let your lifestyle or conversation be as it becometh the gospel. That word becometh, you can insert the word enhances. Live in such a way for the Lord Jesus that it not only presents the gospel, but that it enhances the gospel. Now, you know that I struggle just like you do in the flesh. I mentioned to someone this week, I'd gone into a McDonald's and after 15 minutes trying to get the order right and then still getting the order wrong. In my flesh, in the old days, I'd like to grab the people on the other side of the counter and bring them across. I told you, a 2-cheeseburger meal without cheese with extra pickle and onion. In case you ever wondered, that's my favorite McDonald's meal behind a fish sandwich. And I said a large fry, not a small. But folks, would that conduct be becoming of the gospel? And so what did I do when that clerk this week did that very thing? I said, thank you. It's a beautiful day outside today. When I got out to the truck to eat because the restaurant was closed, I ate my sandwich and I said, well, it isn't quite what I wanted, but thank you, Lord. I'm not starving, right? You see, folks, we've got to be sure of how we act. Because one misaction, if I drag someone across the counter, well, let's realize I'd be able to continue with jail ministry. And I'm getting too old to do that kind of stuff. I get short of breath when I get all stirred up about things. Right? But what do? I take it. And I might say something, but I don't leave them discouraged. I leave them encouraged. And I want to tell you something. I'm working on that, folks. Because I come from a history of a fast-paced life. You know, I come from a history on the farm or in business where if I needed parts at a parts counter, I wanted what I needed now because I've got to get going. And I expect people to perform on the other side of that counter. But folks, in our current environment, it's not going to happen. When you go to McDonald's, you're probably going to get the wrong stuff in your bag. Right? No comment on Wendy's. We probably have people. I know we have some people with personal ties to all those places. I can say this, though. Kim has always provided good meals. I've never wanted to drag her over the counter. Do you get it though? Paul goes on here. He says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. You know, we can insert ourselves personally in all these positions, can't we? What do people say when Pastor John leaves a place? If I don't watch how I handle myself, it won't be good. And it won't be good for the cause of Christ. And it won't be for you either. I don't know how people know me, but a lot of people do. Well, my picture's on the website. But you understand what I'm saying. People have no Christians, or that purport to be, and they have an expectation too. We don't want to disappoint them, but neither do we want to disappoint the Lord. And Paul says here again, here's a repetition that he told Titus, that you stand fast in one spirit, with your mind, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So your other two blanks there on verse 27, silence or withdraw are not an option. Silence and withdrawal are not an option. We need to engage the culture right where it is with the truth. Amen. Spoken in love and in actions of love. And the blank for C is working together to share or deliver the gospel. And folks, we're all going to have differences here today. You know, if we wanted to really break down and get down and dirty here today, we could all get in a fight. Over doctrinal issues, some that may not be very important issues to fight over. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to fight for the truth of the Word of God. But be careful, because that's what's happened to the church a lot, folks. We've become fragmented. You know what churches are known for today? Fighting. And that's why a lot of people don't want anything to do with them. We got to work together. There's an old song from the 70s by Canned Heat. Let's work together. Enough said. You believe it, Dean? There is. But I'm not going to play it right now. Point D. And this is found in verse 28. And in nothing, Paul says to the church at Philippi, he says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Can we admit it today? It's scary to go out into our culture, isn't it? Into the current environment. Can you admit it? You don't have to raise. I admit it.
It is. I agree.
It's not only scary about alienating people, but your life could be put in jeopardy. Right? You know, it could be put in jeopardy sitting right in this building. People are out to get Christians. But folks, this is what I make of it in verse 28. Paul says, and in what? Be scared or terrified? Nothing except one thing. We don't want to be scared of the Lord in a wrong way, but we want to have respect for Him in another, that we need to what? Continue to stand in the day we live. He says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Perdition has a meaning also of destruction. We looked at that Wednesday night a little bit. It's hell, picture of hell. And what he's saying there, again, is if people, like I said about the dogs earlier, if people smell fear in us, you know what they're thinking? They don't really believe what they're saying. Now, does that mean that we're cocky with people? And the word there is, and the answer there is no. But we need to what? Boldly proclaim that. You know, the Bible says also, we worry a lot. What will people, what if I say something wrong? Well, you know what God tells us? He says the Spirit will give you what you need to say. But that's why we need to be prepared. So we do know the facts. And we can challenge those in love with people. Paul says, but to you of salvation and that of God. So again, we understand that in the Lord we need not fear. And the Lord wants us to not fear as we interdict our environment that's around us today. So here's your blank on E, or on D. Not fearing the opposition, but facing them. Not fearing the opposition, but facing them. Get out there with people. They don't even know we exist anymore. I'm afraid. They might come to my house. Well, keep it like the Brown farm. It's pretty likely you'll fall in a hole or trip over a piece of equipment or some junk before you make it to the door. Lyle? There's some big holes at Lyle's. Yeah. Up on the mountain. We got to go because I said we'd be done early. Verses 29 and 30, Paul says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to," read it, folks. If you're worried about your neck, you're in the wrong place. I'm sorry to tell you. You're what someone said? Go ahead, Judy. That is a potential. But I don't quite think that's what the Lord was getting at here. I understand. In fact, I think Greg might have dug some of those holes. Yeah. By the way, there's an old saying about that, you know, sometimes you dig your own hole. You can think about that. That's extra credit for today. Here's your blank on E, folks. We got to call it like it is. If Jesus suffered, how are we off the hook? We've just had a lot of grace given to us here in America. You wait. I hope it doesn't come to pass, but I warned you last week. Here's your blank. Expect and endure suffering in the stead or in the example of Christ. By the way, 2 Timothy 3:12, a quick diversion. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea," or "yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution." It says shall. It might be subtle persecution, but it could be out and out payment with our life that may be expected at some time. Don't doubt that, folks, in our current environment. Last point, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I think it's the last point. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15:57, which says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But I like what comes after it. And here it is, folks, because didn't Paul say that I should be exhorting all of us here today, building us up? Here's 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," by the way, these things are being talked about to believers today. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I wonder what you think about things. But I just want to be sure to tell you that Jesus loves you today, and what he set up for you is the greatest thing ever, which is salvation. He's communicating that to you today out of his love and his grace. Come to me. I'm the deliverer. I'm the only deliverer that can deliver you from the eternal destiny of punishment in hell unto the eternal destiny of life eternal in the presence of the Lord. And you can have it today by obviously acknowledging you need it, that you're a sinner, and just what I told you to start today. Get on the line and call him. And you don't even have to pick up a phone. You say, "Lord, I need you today. I need my sins to be forgiven, and I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again to guarantee me new life. I want to be yours, Lord." Believe. That's all that's required in Jesus. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," this is my exhortation today through Paul, "be ye," means what? Reliable. You know what? As I look at the Christian community today, there's a word I could give to most of them. Unreliable. Here, there, all over the place. But can I count on anyone? There's a few. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Means grounded, not changeable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. These are good tests for all of us to look at. Is there a day like today you'd say, I'd rather go to St. Mattress of the Springs? You get what I'm talking about? It's a popular gathering place on Sunday mornings. Bed, St. Mattress of the Springs. It's a popular gathering place. But here's what Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. He says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, what you do for Jesus will never be a waste of time. Never. So here's your last blank, because we're going to be done early. Become gritty. Does that mean not take a bath? But what it means is, you got to get out there where the action is. And you can't, you got to go where it's at, and you got to get with it. And yes, sometimes that requires what? Having a little starch in your collar when you deal with things. I won't go any further. Be gritty. Become gritty. Become reliable. Become resolute. What's resolute mean? Purposed. Purposed. And be busy. I know as I'm aging, I told Kim, you know, I could just sit for a while sometime and stare at a wall. But historically, in the things that God's called me to do, I've been busy. We need to be busy. We need to see Jesus' desires put in the primary spot. So there's your blanks, resolute and busy. Now to the conclusion with 1 minute left. Here it is. Conclusion. Well, there you see it. Preaching, compelling, presenting the gospel in our current environment. It can be accomplished in our day. It can be accomplished in our day.
Amen.
It must be accomplished in our day. Have you responded in your efforts? That's for you to decide and for me. Have you turned around or repented of your deficiencies? You already know that I've tried, but I still have some. But so do you. And as I said, Jesus is there to help us. Or maybe someone here today needs to respond to the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and receive Him into your life today. Become a child of God. Well, I ask us this morning in closing, what is the state of your environment this morning? It's something worthy of our thought today. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless you today. Amen. And we are done on time. Let's stand if you're able today. Hymn number 380, or it's on the screen. Jesus Saves. Stand if you're able today. 380. Here's the message, folks. We're only going to sing the first verse. Let me just say again, there's help available today at Fruitland Baptist Church. You know, we have not totally soiled our laundry here yet. We're still teaching the truth here. And let's pray that we continue to do it. And let me just say this, invite someone to come and join us. Interact with people this week, every day, and tell them that Jesus saves. Here we go. You respond today. The front of this church is open. If you need to do business with God, I'm here to help you too. And there's others. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Matt, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to hear what you have for us, Lord. I pray that you challenge our hearts, challenge our minds, Lord, convict us of